Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 65, Fibers. Now here we have a main lesson block that is relatively speaking the youngest, the newest addition to the great family of blocks. Not all schools do this, and in my school I was the first to work with it, which was nice, except there was no one to go to for much advice. So I worked with my handwork teachers, and actually it became as much an extension of the handwork class as it was a formal main lesson block. Now this has gotten much more developed over time, but I would say still I'm not going to have a lot of detail to give you about this, because you do want to work either or with a handwork teacher, and perhaps here again you have a parent in your class or their parents in the school, very likely, who have a special connection, let's say, to weaving, or a special connection to felting, or whatever, so that the fibers that you will work with and the skills that you're able to give, or at least the information that you're able to give the children, is not something that you yourself have to master all of this. That would be a whole lot for what's probably just going to be a 2 or at the most 3 week block. Rather, here you can draw on others from the school community. What I have to show you on the slideshow is primarily photos of children in 2 fiber fairs, one in the Novato Waldorf School, which is in Novato, California. It's a charter school where they have a wonderful program developed for fibers. Very, very fine handwork teacher and class teachers who really get into it. So they're an exemplar. If you want to learn more about it, get in contact with them, the Novato Charter School, and in Novato, California. And secondly, a few photos from a fiber fair, which I believe may have been the first one done at the Waldorf School of the Peninsula in Los Gatos and the Silicon Valley part of the Bay Area. And there, too, you see some very wonderful work done by their class teacher, Monica Lawrence. So it's really going to be doing, you know, the children learning about different fibers and how they are turned into textiles. So what I want to talk to you about is, again, the most important question: why do we do this, and how does it relate to the 9-year change? So let's first think about the fibers. And I'm going to speak about them, you know, in clothing, because this is the most important thing for the 9-year-old. You know, how we clothe ourselves. Once again, it's absolutely archetypal. It's there, if not from day one, at least from day 8 or 9 in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve realize that they are naked. And the first thing we are told they do is to take a fig leaf and cover themselves with it. So how do you cover yourself? And when you're cast out of Eden, then Yahweh makes them raiment of skins. So you go from the plant world to the animal world, and now you really have to put another level of skin between yourself and the world. Now you realize that you are naked, that the divine raiment has been taken off you, and you must put something there in its place. So let's think about this. The clothing closest to our body is usually cotton. That would be an ideal substance. So cotton is closest to our body. What of the kingdoms of nature, which of the kingdoms of nature does cotton come from? It comes from the plant world. And the plant world, we share with the plant world the etheric body. That's what we have in common with the plants. So how fitting that we take plant substances and put them closest to our body, because they are emblematic of the etheric body that we once had as a complete gift from the divine world, and now we, in a way, have to bolster the work of that body by having plant substance near us. So it's kind of an extension of the fig leaf, though in a very particular way. And what comes next? It may be another layer of cotton, a shirt that we wear. But at some point, probably, especially if you live in a temperate zone and it's winter, you're going to wear wool. That's the next great Waldorf fiber that you should have over and above your layer or two of cotton. Where does wool come from? The animal world. Here's the skin, as it were, or at least the that which is over the skin that the divine world gave to us. Here we have, we might say, an emblem, a symbol, a manifestation of the astral world. So the etheric is closest to our body. We want substances taken from the world of the plant. The astral is above, around the etheric. That's where we're going to take substances from the animal world, particularly wool from the sheep, the llama, the alpaca, the angora, but something that is woolen, something that's drawn from the animal world. Now, very interesting to think that in the upper grades, usually sixth or seventh, when the students will create a Waldorf doll, that there they make the skin out of cotton, but the woolen element, the woolen fleece, is compressed and compressed and compressed and stuffed inside. Very different picture here, what's going on. But now we're talking about children who are incorporating their astral body. So now the wool goes within instead of being on the outside. So there we have it. The physical body needs to be clothed. The etheric body surrounds it most closely. The astral body above the etheric. And we have cotton and we have wool. So there we can begin with those two substances. Of course, linen also comes from the plant world that may be used. Hemp is becoming more popular nowadays. So substances from the plants, and you have to see again which ones you can bring to the children and which ones they can actually work with. And then, of course, they've already been working with wool and handwork for a couple of years, so they're quite comfortable with that and familiar with that. But maybe they can go back to some of the activities of carding the wool and learning other ways of working with it. Although weaving is in a certain way a more intellectual activity and is more suitable as an ongoing skill and craft for older children, in this block you can bring children, you know, into connection with all kinds of skills and so on. They're just learning it, you know, for this block to see how it works. And you'll see some children drawn to weaving and really show quite a bit of skill at it in one form or another. And I would even say, if you have any access to a fiber factory somewhere in your neighborhood, though alas, more and more of those have gone abroad, but if the children can also see the machinery that is involved in manufacturing clothing today, that would be great. Or you can take them, as I took my class, on a tour of the upper grades. They went to handwork classes that the 7th and 8th graders were in and saw them working on sewing machines and saw them sewing up a garb for themselves. So that's also very good. Now you might be asking, okay, physical, etheric, astral, what about the ego? What substance really, you know, reflects the work of the ego? This is very interesting. What do we wear for our coats and outer garb? You take wool, for example, and you boil it. You put it through a fire process in a way, or at least a very hot water process, and that tightens up the wool and makes it impervious to water and to cold. So boiling wool, we could say there's something bringing egoity to the animal fiber, that it's something that the human being does to extend, to enhance the activity of the wool. Leather, where again an animal skin is taken and has to be very, very processed, you know, and goes through the tanning process, perhaps the dyeing process. Once again, it's a substance taken very far away from nature in which the human being is quite active. And there's another way of looking at this as well. And even the most, no pun intended, dyed-in-the-wool anthroposophists, you see them walking around in the winter with coats that are made of nylon, ripstop nylon, or with fleeces that are made of polyester. Synthetics. Synthetics, we could say, are purely the creation of human beings. Yes, you may start with cellulose, you may start with some substances in nature, or increasingly you're starting with substances taken from the world of coal and petroleum, and here it's pure ego activity. But you wouldn't want that except under very special circumstances like cross-country skiing or something. You don't generally want that right next to your skin. You want something that allows the etheric to breathe. You don't even want it necessarily as your second layer, rather as a third layer. Synthetics can indeed be appropriate. I don't know that you need to work with synthetics with the children, but at least to talk about them a little bit. And I'm not saying use terms like etheric, astral, and ego with the children either, but simply to help them recognize these different layers. Now, one substance I haven't mentioned, one fiber, probably you're waiting for this, silk. Because you might be thinking, well, silk underwear is incredibly comfortable. And silk is also wonderful as a second layer, a silk shirt, a silk dress. Men wear silk ties. Eurythmists are completely garbed in silk and then have these wonderful silk veils. What about silk? Which kingdom does silk belong to? Well, we could say that silk is, of course, it's the cocoon woven by the silkworm. Now, up to this point, the silkworm is virtually a plant in and of itself. It's eating, you know, and you have to keep the instars keep growing and growing, and you have to keep changing the screens that they're on. But it's almost like dealing with something that's almost growing at a plant-like rate. And then comes the, we might say, the reproductive period. Now the astrality of the silkworm asserts itself as it weaves its own cocoon, about 1 mile of filament, the purest white. And then if that's allowed to take its full course, of course, the beautiful silk moth appears, the purest white of its wings. There's as white as the driven snow, we might say. But we don't allow it to come to its full course. Before it can fully assert itself as an astral being, it sacrifices that stage and instead gives over its unfinished, still in process filament to the human being for silk. So silk is a wonderful substance that is neither plant nor animal, or we might say it is both. It has aspects of the animal, so silk can be a very, very warm garb. It can also easily become a very cool and comfortable garb, depending, again, very much on the environment in which it is, and the way it's woven, the way it's handled. And that pure, beautiful whiteness of the silk, which is very etheric in nature, of any fabric, of any fiber, it can take dye the most beautifully, because that's the astral aspect of it, wanting to live in that world of color. And now, I wouldn't go necessarily into great detail about the silkworm in grade 3, because you may want to take this up in grade 5 in botany. You may even want to take it up in grade 4. I don't think you'll have the time to get too deeply into the insect world. That maybe is better held up in botany. But you can see then that fiber, this fiber study, it's a foundation for zoology in grade 4. It's a foundation for botany in grade 5. Farming, of course, is also something of a foundation for both zoology and botany, as the children see the farm animals and the manure and the compost, and then work with the plants in the field. So you see, again, not just the horizontal aspect of the curriculum, as the 9-year-old tries to find the new clothing, the new raiment, as the model body deteriorates, and the fiber block helps them understand how to create protection and higher members for that new body. But it also is vertical. The curriculum's always vertical in nature. We're always building a scaffolding that will help us step up and build a subject in the next grade. So in this respect, fiber is really wonderful. And if I may add one other aspect to the world of fiber, third grade is a year where some of the children who've been very sleepy about what they wear, you know, they just sort of, or their parents give them what they should wear, not as sleepy as children used to be about it. There are too many external pressures for this. But nonetheless, this is the year when, with the 9-year change, children want to start to have more of a say in how they're dressed, what they're wearing. So there too, fibers bring this to a healthy consciousness rather than just the side of how things look and if they're in style and are these the coolest running shoes I can wear or whatever. They bring it to a healthy consciousness. But I'd say there's another aspect of this as well. And we always have to, you know, the final passing of the buck comes back to the teacher. How do you dress? What do you wear? And I'm going to bring this up when I talk about the inner work of the teacher as well. But just to put a bee in your bonnet at this moment, is third grade a time when you too need to be rethinking, reinventing your own appearance, the fibers that surround you, and the way in which they are placed? Okay, we'll go on, have a look at the fiber slideshow, and then we're going to go on to the last of our so-called skills classes as we look at time-telling, measurement, and so on.